It's Mike Shope.
Last night at 12:30 in the morning, I ate a can of mushrooms. I did. Pieces and stems, if you're wondering. As opposed to buttons, it was pieces and stems, which will be my next year's fantasy football team name.
Pieces and stems.
Pieces and stems.
And the Bulldog.
I should be ashamed to admit this publicly, but whatever. How long have we been doing this? I'm a junkie. I can't be trusted.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Ah, week 7. Bulldog rolling out any Bub Means teams this week? Is it that desperate a situation over there?
Listen.
How many rosters?
Listen, Bub.
How many Bub Means teams?
Means? I got no Bub Means, actually.
Bub Means. I love saying it. Yeah. I don't think I want to start them, but I love saying it.
Does Bub Means business? Like Natron Bub used to mean? Natron means
absolutely
business.
He should with a name like Bub. I mean, you can't be a joke.
Right.
A Bub can't be a joke.
No, you got to be good. If you're rolling out a Bub nickname like that, or well, I don't know. I shouldn't assume that's a nickname. It could be his given name. I don't know.
I don't know. Joe would know.
All right, Joe knows
Joe,
everything.
Joe Ostrowski on the Wester. You say hello. That would have been great. Joe Ostrowski on the Wester Hotline, BetQL Daily host, 9 to noon weekdays. Missed you on Monday, Joe, by the way. I was on with Nick and Sam, which was still great. BetMGM Game Day Sunday mornings with Jason Locke and Fora on the BetQL Network. And you can also listen to these shows on the Bet 1520. Hi.
I was so mad throughout much of that game. I'm like, he gave out this great Ray Davis number to score a touchdown, and I missed on all of it as it looked like he was dominating the game. How did he not get into the end zone?
He got tackled at the half-yard line twice.
Right. Right? I know. And what was the number, Mike? Like 7-1 or something early in the day?
It was 9-1 at 11 in the morning when I was on. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know that I said it. I had it on my notes. I mentioned Braylon Allen. I hope I mentioned Davis. But, I was there. And we all know this one where your guy gets stopped at the one even twice on the first drive. Oh, you'll get there, sure. No problem. Like, yeah. You know, no, you don't. Any experienced player is already feeling dread. Like, that was it. That turned out to be the case in this one, that he did not score. But
all the touches he was getting in that game. My worst beat for that was in the Niners Super Bowl. I bet Kyle Juszczyk 2+ touchdowns at 100-1 because he's Polish. And he was stopped at like the 1-foot line for that second touchdown. And I'm like, I think he got in. And they just went ahead with the next player.
Well,
he got into the end zone.
That's tough.
I love why you bet. My dad would want to gamble with you, Joe, I'm pretty sure.
Last names.
I never saw my dad more happy than when the Bills drafted Paul Posluszny. They drafted the Polish linebacker. I love it.
You imagine Chicago? Yeah. Anytime there's a Polish player on the Bears roster, they go nuts.
The problem is, teams don't bother to review it because they're just going to score on the next play.
Right.
Even if he did make it, it wouldn't count.
The way that unfolded, didn't Allen score the first time, then that got called back, and then Davis went down to the one again, and then Allen scored. I had an Allen anytime touchdown, so I was sweating that a little bit.
Well, it was minus $8 billion. So, right. I mean, win's a win, but... Yeah, they don't have to challenge. They won't challenge those plays because it's second and an inch.
So we're just gonna put it in anyway.
Let's give our 6'5" monster quarterback who never misses. Let's go tush push, just automatic. Anyway, on to week 7, Denver, New Orleans tonight. Let's start with this one because you run these great survivor pools, and I'm using one of my entries on Denver. Is that a sucker bet?
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Why?
Okay, I got my answer, didn't I?
No, it's just I have no interest.
Does
in
Mike
this game.
Know there are other games this week?
Yeah, there's like a half a dozen games with a point spread of at least 6 or higher. Okay. Some of them I don't really have any interest in. Just sell me on Denver. Is it just the injury? You're picking Denver on the road. So here's my quick thought process is, okay, when I use Denver, yes, there aren't many opportunities, but I would like to take them at home. And I would like to take them when Pat Sertan's on the field. And you're not getting that tonight. I know all the injuries on the Saints side. What do you think? Sean Payton has something to say for this one?
My assumption is that the Saints offense will not be able to function.
To do anything.
That's my assumption. Yeah. I mean, even Kamara's playing, but he's got like three injuries too. But no receiver. Bub means no disrespect.
Let's go, Bub.
I like the tight end a little bit, Juwan Johnson, but I don't know. I mean, anything can happen, but that's my play. Denver's defense has been excellent. Knicks, I don't know if he's improving per se, but he's had moments, so that's why. And I don't want to get, you know, beaten by the chalk.
I get what you're saying. He's covered every game on the road. That is rarely the case with rookie quarterbacks. Rookie quarterback against rookie quarterback. So, yeah, the injuries also don't... We should bring up the offensive line. I mean, McCoy, one of the best centers in the game, he's out for the year. They have one guard that's out, another that's questionable. The interior of that offensive line could be ugly. And Zach Allen, man. Not Zach Gallen, the pitcher. Zach Allen, the pass rusher. That guy has some ridiculous numbers, if you take a look. So we were having this conversation on the show this week with the Hutchinson injury. And he was the runaway favorite for Defensive Player of the Year. I don't think people realize the kind of numbers he was putting together. Like, it was him on an island. And then I was looking at whether it's TFLs, quarterback hits, knockdowns, pressures. The guy that's number two on just about everything is Zach Allen of the Broncos. So you would think that he would have his way tonight.
Well, all right, I'm back. You got me back. Okay. I was all ready to bail.
He was rocked, but now he's going to stay with Allen. Stay with Denver. All right.
I never considered them. Maybe it's just because I hate this game tonight. But yeah, I'm chalky. I was looking, which is
Bills.
People knocked out. I was looking at the top two favorites, Bills and Commanders, this week.
You know, it is Week 7. It's a new pool that started in Week 5. But really, like, in terms of
that
how many teams
I got knocked out of in Week 5.
Yeah. But like, sort of my instinct for how many teams I need to save and sort of that long-term, long-game strategy is different, because even though this is the third week of the pool, it's almost the middle of the season. So I can be maybe a little bit less risky.
Yeah, and there are some big favorites that I'm not comfortable with. Like, I never know when the Raiders are going to show up. I'm not comfortable taking the Rams when they're favored by a touchdown, even though I'm just asking them to win. When I use the Rams, I want Kupp on the field. I want Puka on the field. I don't want to use them when they're missing all these players on offense. I don't want to use the Jaguars are a 5.5-point favorite. No, no, no.
I'm using them too.
You are?
Yes.
Just because they've been in London and it's rookie quarterback. Like, what?
Yeah, injuries. Okay. As well, up front, I'm using them too.
Bengals, I guess you could. I'm not interested. I don't like divisional games.
We're on different pages this week. I'm afraid of Washington. I mean, Carolina's offense can function. And the way they went to Vegas and just cooked, like, last week, their defense is in shambles. And maybe Washington is Washington just that good?
They're a great over team. These are both great over teams, and that's why the total's in the lower 50s.
Yeah.
Carolina's not stopping anybody. They're not stopping Washington. And I was actually a little it was right on the point spread, but I walked away from that Ravens game saying, you know what, they can kind of hang with really, really good teams. Just if you think about how much – they're at least average to maybe above average, Washington.
Okay.
And where we were at the start of the season – The line's 8. Carolina can't stop anybody.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, we're into Week 7 here. I'm done thinking Daniels and that Washington offense is fluky. Like, he's putting the ball where it needs to be frequently enough. Like, he's doing it, and he's not getting destroyed cartoonishly like he did in college, really, at all. In fact, there was a play in the game Sunday against Baltimore where I thought he was going to spin into something, but he got down and it missed him. It was the closest I've seen, and I've not watched every minute, but I feel like with his reputation coming out, if he were getting run over by buses, I think we'd have seen it by now.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you look around in that division, and there's some people who are like, why not? I think they're the favorite now, actually, Washington.
They are.
Yeah, and I don't know about going that far, but I understand knocking down every other team in that division and thinking, okay, maybe they're the best. And maybe the Giants aren't as bad as we all thought coming into the season.
Joe, let's talk a little bit about futures bets and the odds to make the playoffs bets specifically. So Bulldog and I started an hour ago on the AFC, and there's a pretty kind of solid tier break from the division leaders to the rest of the conference. But I don't know, you have the experience here. Like, the Chargers, who are okay, are minus 170 to make it, which, okay, wow, you know, right? Jeez, yeah. And I have a bet on Denver to make it. That's like 2-1, and Miami is 2-1. The Jets are in that range. Even the Steelers are close to the middle, I think. Like, somebody's going. I mean, there are going to have to be three more teams here. Cincinnati feels like there might be an opportunity. Almost you could bet five teams. And if two make it, you break even or better.
My first thought on the playoff picture in the AFC is we've played six games. Not everybody has. Many have played six games, and I think we have our four division winners. I don't see any of them getting caught. Like, I could make an argument for Texans, but which team?
Right. No.
I don't see it. There's just not the team that I see that's going to come up in any of these divisions. So, yes, 5, 6, 7, where do you go? These numbers are tough. And then after the Devontae trade, there was a move in that market. We just happened to be talking about that, what they were to make the playoffs. Then the trade gets pulled off, and there was an adjustment. I don't think an over-adjustment. It was probably just the proper adjustment. But it's hard to find teams that you trust. And the ones that are in the picture right now are the well-coached teams, the teams that are not going to kill themselves with mistakes, except for the Colts as part of this conversation, because it looks like Anthony Richardson's making his return, and his issue has been turnovers so far this season. I heard a portion of that conversation, and I'm with Bulldog on the Steelers. I think they're out. I think they're just the way it's going to play out. If they're already contemplating this move to Russ, he wants to make the move to Russ. It's Mike Tomlin. He doesn't give the media anything that he doesn't want them to have. So that means he's making the move to Russ. My question is, will there be a Fields package? The guy has five rushing touchdowns for you. Had two last week, and now you're going to make the move after a victory? Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But the biggest reason, guys, is the schedule. You go Jets, Giants, bye. Okay. Now week 10, Washington. At Washington, oh, that's tough now. You've got Baltimore twice, Cincinnati twice, at Philadelphia, Kansas City in week 17. This is brutal, borderline unfair, what they did to the Steelers, the way they backloaded this schedule. So they had to get out to this quick start, 4-2. They better hope they're at least 5-3 going into the bye. But I know Tomlin always ends up having a winning record, and they're the favorite to make it. I don't think they do, and I expect them to go back and forth with the quarterbacks the rest of the way.
Does anything, all that said, the Jets being favored by 2.5, do you happen to know if before Adams, there's not a lot of time there, late Monday night into Tuesday morning, before Adams was announced, was that the case, or did that line move because Adams got to the Jets?
Oh, yeah, there was definitely a move in favor of the Jets after the trade. So it actually opened Pittsburgh as a 1-point favorite.
Okay.
So it's probably been an overreaction. It went to 1, and then, you know, money keeps coming in. Now we're at 2. Is there a huge difference between 1 and 2? It's not like 3, but once you get past the 2, like, there are more games that are landing on 2 in recent years, so that's kind of interesting. But, there's definitely been a lot of support on the Jets side, and I understand it, even though I look at the addition of Cooper, and I think that's going to be more impactful for the regular season. But it helps that Devontae already knows the offense. But for 1 week in this spot, Pittsburgh offensive line beat up. I think they're down to their third center on the season. For this one gotta-have-it spot with a 2-4 Jets team, I do think they win. I think they cover, yeah.
You think Pittsburgh wins?
No, Jets.
Okay, yeah. I've been waiting to say. I think, like, if I'm you, with the way you laid out the Steelers season, you'd want to be on the Jets in this game.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna be on the Jets in this game, just given the situation. But I will say that I do not like going against Mike Tomlin when he's an underdog, especially a home underdog.
Mm-hmm. They do have the Browns twice also. They have not played a division game yet.
Right.
And they will beat the Ravens 16-15 once. That happens every year.
So, yeah, that Browns game looked tough early, and now it's the softest games that they have left.
Yeah. You like the Cooper trade then for the Bills?
Love it. Love the Cooper trade.
Is there anything we can do with it? I mean, I see it at BetMGM, the line now is 11.5 on the Bills. Like, their schedule gets nicer, too.
So what's funny is that the Bills were a bigger favorite to win the division without Cooper because of the Devontae reaction.
Right.
Now, that's where you have an overreaction. Because on Tuesday morning after the win, it's Bills minus 500, minus 550. And then after both trades, you look at it and it's Bills minus 400, minus 375, somewhere in that range. If I were to make a Jets move, I would do something on the win total. The adjusted win total is 8.5. But playoffs, yeah, I mean, you guys have laid it out that it is very soft when you get to that 5, 6, 7 range. I do walk away thinking, okay, it's going to be another AFC East team. And which one do you want to land on? Do you want to take the side, okay, Tua's going to come back, like it or not, it's going to happen, and you hope that he's healthy the rest of the year, and you take the Dolphins, or do you go Jets? As weak as it is down there at 5, 6, 7, I've got to think that one of those two teams wins a handful of games and makes it in.
I like that. And if you play them both and one of them makes it, you come out ahead.
Yes. Yeah, they're both plus money. Dolphins are 2-1 right now.
Yep.
The Jets numbers come down a little bit. I think plus 130 to plus 150. It's been hanging around there. But Colts, I don't know how you trust Richardson right now. And they have that 7 spot.
Joe, I mean,
I know. Flacco's been a lot better.
I've got a big league where it's Richardson or Bo Nix. And, you know, you got to decide by 8:15.
Oh.
So that kind of thing, for me, it comes down to, all right, how many other teams am I starting Richardson? And there are a couple. Or I can pivot if I have to, but I am going to start Nix in that. He's been okay.
That Colts injury report, you've seen that? It's rough. I didn't see what they did today with it, but I know yesterday Pittman and Downs and Taylor not practicing and offensive line stuff. I don't know who's going to be with them in the game.
I'm not the reader I used to be. I don't have time for these long injury reports. It's just I get distracted. I get distracted. What do you like in week 7? Or what else?
Yes. Certainly do like the Jets as far as that goes in that matchup. I did not land on the Bills game. I got to be honest with you. I've contemplated like more than half of the card. And I just, that number 9.5, it's probably going to go to 10 in that Bills game. I just can't get there, even though I would understand with a Levis fade if you want to go against that. By the way, I did see an interesting stat, at least I thought. Over the last 3 years, Action Network put this out, Evan Abrams. Last 3 years, when Josh Allen's been favored by 4 or more, that's happened 27 times. They are 9-17-1 against the spread. That is the worst out of 46 quarterbacks over the last 3 years. The worst ATS record.
What is up with that?
So not covering the monster number, the bigger numbers. Yeah.
He does. His last game in that spot was a win. Because I had that written down from the last time.
Was that a cover?
From Evan. 8-17-1. Now it's 9-17-1. I mean, it might have been the, I don't know, Jacksonville game. It was the Jacksonville game where they were like around a touchdown favorite, 5-point favorite maybe, and they won big. So, yeah. But still.
I do like the Vikings, minus 1.5 going against the Lions. We already mentioned about the Hutchinson impact. Vikings coming off the bye. We'll see about Aaron Jones' availability. I know Hockenson's been practicing a little bit this week. They are so tough to beat up in Minnesota. I know the Lions coming off a rout of the Cowboys, but I do like the Vikings there. Jeez, can they stay undefeated? Ridiculous. Mahomes is
getting points.
Like, it's okay, it's public. It's going to be the most popular play of the week. Kind of don't care. And it's also Andy Reid off the bye as an underdog.
Uh-oh.
It's, yeah. And I understand the revenge factor from the Niners side of things, but they are a team that's been dealing with a lot of injuries. Mentioned the Jets. I think I'm going to be on the Bucs, plus 3.5 against
Baltimore.
The Ravens. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like Tampa Bay is getting the proper credit, and the defense is just starting to get healthy. We want Lamar as a short number, as a favorite, as a dog, absolutely. But now you're laying more than that number.
22-1 against the NFC.
I know. That's certainly is cause for concern there. Ones I've considered, Texans, they're going to be an underdog at Green Bay. That's when you want to back Stroud. But, again, Nico Collins' impact is still there. Everyone's going to – not everyone, but a lot of people are going to fade the Eagles. And it feels like things are taking a turn. I don't like what we're hearing out of there. The fan base has completely turned.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Got Nick Sirianni.
Oh, I know.
And I understand why. I think the Giants might be average, which is a lot better than we thought. Their defensive line, as we saw on Sunday night, getting a lot of pressure on the opposing quarterback there. And I just...
And they could get Neighbors back this week, too.
They should.
Yes,
yep.
They should. Like, he already missed two games with the concussion. So I think that's a decent look at 3.5. I would like it a lot more. And then I don't want to take the Raiders. I don't. But the Rams stink, and their defense is awful. They shouldn't be favored by a touchdown against any team.
Yeah, 7 points. That's a good one. Okay, well, this has been great, as always. We're on some different sides here, but it'll be fun. We'll see what happens in this Survivor thing. All those weeks where it just got blown up, then last week, out of hundreds of entries, 5 people went out.
No, yeah, right.
Tennessee, that was the only one that anybody had wrong last week in Survivor. So,
if you went with home underdogs, it was a rough one. 0-9 against the spread and straight up last week, home underdogs.
Wow. So including the Jets, I guess, Monday night?
Yep, that was another one.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Great chat. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, guys.
Joe Ostrowski, BetQL Daily, and Sunday mornings with Jason Lockenfora as well. Check him out on the Bet 1520. Sabres in Columbus tonight. We're open here for a while to talk Amari Cooper, some Sabres as well, the Bills and the playoff picture. 803-0550 is the number. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
You know, it's not the easiest thing, just based on verbiage and terminology and what system he was in before this. Our system's not the easiest to learn, but again, the things that I've heard about him and know about him, very smart guy, he's going to work extremely hard, and he's figured this out. I'm going to help him as much as I can, but we got a lot of guys in this building that are at his aid, willing to help and at any point that he asks for it. So no doubt he'll get in tune real quick.
Josh Allen on Amari Cooper, who was on the practice field today. He'll play Sunday. Bills and Titans, that's not official from the team, but come on. And Devontae Adams will play Sunday night, and he was on an injury report. And apparently that was just, like you predicted, not real.
Right, yeah, he's like doing jumping jacks out on the field today with the Jets, so he's all good. Yeah, my brain would ooze out of my ears if Amari Cooper were on the inactive list. Not taking into account something happening tomorrow or something at practice or whatever. I mean, I can't imagine a scenario where he's not a part of things.
I want to spend plenty of time today on him. And really trying to figure out, best we can, what his value is to the Bills. And we'll get into that. I've been waiting to say this, though, all day. I can't wait any longer. I just feel like there's something amazing about this. So, last night, Sabres-Penguins. There's the graphic. TNT game, right? So, not the same kind of notes you would necessarily get from the Sabres broadcast. There it is, Lindy Ruff, his record, 5th all-time in wins. Just that, for now. Does that kind of blow your mind? 5th all-time in wins? Maybe not? Maybe you're sort of used to that now?
Yeah, nothing about that blows my mind.
Okay. I thought to look up who is fifth all-time in wins in the other sports.
Oh, my.
Listen to these names. What sport do you want first?
Go football first.
Tom Landry.
Legend.
Tom Landry coached for almost 30 years. Dallas was always good. Super Bowl 6, 12. I mean, just like dominant dynasty.
Yep.
Dynasty.
Tons of style.
One team. Great look.
Right. Very identifiable.
The hat.
Yep.
Know your Tom Landry. He was a coordinator with Lombardi with the Giants.
I did not know that.
One was offense, one was defense.
As much of a legend as he is, and as much as I liked the Cowboys when I was a little kid, I've never done a dive on Landry's career.
His life?
I just know him as the Cowboy coach.
Bud Grant scared you. Landry did not scare you.
Landry did not scare me, no.
But still cast an imposing figure, presence.
Oh, yeah. No, it's mostly because I guess he didn't look as cold as Bud Grant. Like, Bud Grant just looked grouchy all the time because he's in Minnesota freezing.
Yeah, that would do it.
Yeah.
That would make someone, you know, disgruntled.
You'd be, I think, more inclined to yell at kids to get off your lawn if you're uncomfortable.
So, Super Bowl wins, that seems so right. NFL championship, conference, all of it. Dallas, yep. Tom Landry, one team. Baseball, Joe Torre.
Boy, yeah.
Lindy Ruff is fifth all-time in NHL wins. Tom Landry is fifth all-time in NFL wins. Joe Torre is fifth all-time in Major League Baseball wins as a manager. Numerous World Series with the Yankees.
Sure, he's the Yankee dynasty of the 90s, yeah.
It's three in a row, four out of five, lost in 01 to Arizona, could have been another, 03 to Florida, could have been another. Even before the Yankees, he was the Met manager, Atlanta, he got Atlanta to the playoffs, which nobody does back then. Joe Torre, I mean, a giant.
Yep.
Landry, a giant. NBA, fifth all-time in wins.
Tommy Heinsohn.
Pat Riley.
Okay. Science in a really bad guess.
The first place I looked at was Jerry Sloan. I'm like, all right, this is still an interesting thing, but he's not Pat Riley.
Right.
Jerry Sloan is fourth, though, so lucky me. So Pat Riley is fifth. How many rings is this, Pat Riley? All those Showtime Lakers, all of it. Knicks, Heat, championship,
right.
Almost championship teams, all the time. Were they ever bad? Was a Pat Riley team ever, like, bad for more than maybe one season?
I mean, he did coach the Knicks.
He did coach the Knicks, but that was like the best Knicks era.
The best Knicks ever.
Since, right. I mean, I don't do the early 70s Knicks.
Right.
But I love those. I love the Riley Knicks. I loved Riley as their coach.
The best Knicks since Dave DeBuscher.
Yeah, right. Since Willis Reed and that team. And that was just a great time for the Knicks with Riley and then Van Gundy.
It's convenient here that these three, that Jerry Sloan is not in that spot.
I know.
Because the one thing Lindy does not have that the other names have are, you know, championships and you know, multiple championships. And of course, Jerry Sloan doesn't have any. He's like Lindy. He like won a ton and just could not get all the way there. And of course, Lindy has not yet done that. And so, I don't know. We'll see if he gets a look at it, but fifth all time.
Well, you could also look at their winning percentage. Because Ruff's winning percentage is like 55%.
Yeah.
If you include losses as losses.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably ties in there with Lindy, too, but still, like.
Yeah.
Those other guys would not be close to that number. Well, maybe Torre. Maybe Torre. No, I doubt it. I bet they're all way better.
Yeah.
Winning percentage. To be a top five winningest coach or manager in the sport, isn't it intuitive to think you just won all the time?
Yes, it is. And that if you've done it for as long as Lindy has, that there would be a championship. That's one of the ways you get to keep doing it for that long, is that you won, you know. So even if you won 20 years ago, some team is going to go, provided you're not like 85 years old or something, somebody's going to go, well, you know, he did it then. I'm going to try that again. And Lindy, I mean, he got to the finals
25 years ago.
Right. But
That's it.
That is it. A couple of good looks at it later on with the Sabres in 06 and 07. Those were really great teams, like serious cup contending type teams. And I think a couple of his Dallas teams were maybe comparable. I don't know how far they would have gone.
He had, so since he left the Sabres in 13, he did not coach the rest of that season for another team. So he was out of the league for the rest of that 12-13 season. The 13-14 Stars, he takes over that team, and they did make the playoffs, but lost in the first round in 6. 2 years after that, Dallas, with Ruff, won a round, and then lost in the second round. Then 3 years with Dallas and Jersey where they did not make the playoffs. Then 1 year where they did, and they beat the Rangers in the first round in 7, and then lost in the second round, and then they missed last year, and he didn't last the season.
He didn't make it out.
So he has 3 playoff appearances since leaving the Sabres in the span of, what is that? Well, he didn't coach every season. Like, he was out before he went to Jersey. He was an assistant.
He was with the Rangers for a bit as an assistant coach. Yeah.
There's 3 years in there where he was not a head coach in the league. But it's 3 playoff seasons out of 7 or 8. I'm a fan. I really have a lot of admiration and respect for him.
Right.
It's just weird. Last night, it was the first time I ever thought about it this way. 5th all time. You know, usually I'm like, sure. I mean, it's what? 865 wins as I look at it.
I mean,
it's almost, it's coming up on 30 years.
Right.
But he does not have anywhere near the status or like the legacy of the comparables in the other sports at like the win total category, at least. And then playoff results don't even count toward that.
Not win total. But you mean
total wins.
Total win. Okay.
Yeah. But playoff wins don't even count toward that. But you still, with those other guys, I mean, all you think about is championships.
Right. You're going to fall farther behind probably because they had multiple longer playoff runs. Whereas Lindy, like we listed him, like right. I mean, he did a 98. They won 2 rounds and lost in the conference final, and then 99 they won 3 rounds and lost in the cup final. But then after that, it's
6, 5, and 6,
kind of a desert. And then 05, 06, 06, 07. There's round wins there, 2 each year. And that's kind of it until you get to that Dallas year. There,
he has 2 playoff series wins since Drury. Okay. I mean, not writing it off or anything like that. I was excited about the hire, and I still want to be, and mostly am. Just not a great start. I mean, the games to me that have sort of redefined this are the games in Prague, where, like, just not ready to go at all.
Yeah.
New season, playoff drought, accountability, new energy, discipline, all that. And, they've had better showings since then.
Yeah, I've mostly liked them in the 3 games they've played since they got back, right? That's the total, right? They're 1-3-1, 5 games. They lost in regulation to L.A. in a game that they just, I don't want to say deserve better. You got to hit the net. You got to score some goals. Last night, holy crap. I mean, you got 5 goals. You got to get that game home. You just got to. All kinds of reasons for it, Right up to the very end there where Lukanen just can't squeeze that shot, that rebound that falls to his right, and then that's yawning, and that's just a tough deal, man. But I liked him by and large. I've liked him the last 3 games. So, I don't know. Like, I'm in a better place. I know what you're saying about the start to the season is I'm despondent. Like, here comes the season. I can't get to an excited place, and here come the games, and oh, no. It's like my worst fears. Like, oh, geez, especially the second game of those 2 in Prague. But I mean, I don't know how optimistic you can be about them, but I think they've played pretty good hockey for 3 games here. And it's still early enough that if they can do that often enough, maybe they can make some hay this season. Like, that's not out of the question to me. If they were still looking like they looked in Prague a lot here, I'm not saying they've been perfect here in these three games when they've lost two of them. I recognize that. But I'm feeling a lot better about them watching these last three games since they got back from Europe.
Sabres and Blue Jackets tonight. Tonight would help if that were to be true again.
Yes.
Actually, 2 points in the whole thing. Then Saturday night at Chicago for the Sabres. We'll take a break, 803-0550 to join us. Get back to the Bills and the Amari Cooper move coming up. Pre-game not till 6. Open lines until then. This is Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Caller 5 right now at 716-221-4WGR. That's 4947. Wins a pair of tickets to see Disturbed with special guests Daughtry and Nothing More. The show will be at KeyBank Center Friday, April 4th of next year, courtesy of Live Nation. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. Oh, it's time for some fresh picks, Bulldog.
I was sort of expecting to hear Avenged Sevenfold on that bill for some reason. That just sounds like a bill that Avenged Sevenfold would be on. I'm sorry, what were you saying? Fresh picks? It's fresh picks time? Okay, good. Yeah, we just keep moving. Don't ask me about Avenged Sevenfold. I just know I've heard their name a lot of time.
I have it somewhere.
Like that. Oh, it's a good thing I...
Sing something. It's time for my fresh picks brought to you by Umi Sushi and Seafood Buffet. Follow them on Facebook for their grand opening date. Well, we do a game, a futures pick or bet, and a fantasy play. And I think maybe I've said all these already today at least once, so they could be fresher. Maybe not Atlanta. I do like Atlanta at home against Seattle. I want to make sure to zoom back out when thinking about these games, and because it's easy to sort of just remember what happened last week and kind of maybe get tricked sometimes. But before the season, I loved the idea of Atlanta winning like 12 games. And they're not perfect, but the season started and it was how Kirk Cousins couldn't move. But now he's lighting teams up. And Seattle can be lit up. I like them too, but I feel like the Falcons are in a good place. So, you know, not my most confident play ever, but I do like Atlanta in this matchup. Already talked about with Joe Ostrowski the strategy with the AFC playoff odds. I think that should be pretty doable. If you can pick like from five teams or so that are by the betting markets unlikely to make the playoffs, but look at the AFC and some of these teams will. I mean, who's going to the playoffs almost for sure? Bills, Chiefs, Texans, Ravens. Maybe you wouldn't say that about Pittsburgh. Joe wouldn't. You wouldn't.
I wouldn't. No.
So except for the Chargers, everybody else is plus money. I've got three spots to fill. So if I pick five teams and Miami's 2-1 and Denver's plus 225, I should win. So that's what I would do there. Any five. I mean, you can get crazy and go like the Titans or something like that. It's not like they're dead, but Jacksonville. I mean, it's not insane that a team like, I don't think New England has the team for it, but, or the Browns, I think at this point, or the Browns. But the Jaguars in that division playing the Titans and the Colts twice, maybe, that could be, there could be room. That's a big payout. I'm not saying you should do that, but you could. And in fantasy, I mentioned this with Joe Ostrowski and you earlier, that Bo Nix is not the worst idea. He runs, I mean, everything. There's not much passing volume at all, but I think you could pick him to score a touchdown tonight. I have him in an underdog contest over 5.5 rushes. And so you can get fantasy value through the back door that way with Bo Nix. It's still a time where the likes of Bo Nix, Daniel Jones again against Philadelphia, and of course guys who've had good seasons like Darnold and Geno Smith are all just like right there with or ahead of Mahomes in the fantasy rankings. So if you're uneasy about Richardson, if you want to avoid the Steelers because maybe Wilson plays, maybe Fields also plays, then I think Nix is not the worst idea. Maybe you can do better. I'd rather start Nix than like Andy Dalton against Washington. And speaking of fantasy, I just did for a trade offer I got, I ran this calculator tool that I have from Football Guys. And so you put in the league settings, and it basically gives everybody a value. The number one asset by their metric right now in fantasy football, Dynasty, super flex, like our league Bulldog, where you start two quarterbacks, is Jaden Daniels. The age difference, now you have Allen, and you know Hurts has not done as well, but Mahomes even. These guys are 6-7 years older.
Right.
And that difference is meaningful.
That's really big. Yeah, because you're going to have – you're buying with Daniels, assuming he keeps running like he's been running. You're buying that still either ascending or plateau. I mean, he's been in the league for six games here. So he's, I think, still ascending. Whereas the other guy, Allen, Jackson even, at some point, that's going to plateau and start going the other way. So, yeah, I like that. I've got Knicks for an anytime touchdown in my parlay for tonight.
To score?
Yeah, score, yeah, a rushing touchdown, yes.
Yeah, he's a good runner. Maybe it'll be some of your first times watching him tonight. Or maybe you've got better things to do than commit to the Broncos and the Saints. I'd respect it. Sabres are on, too.
I'm going to be watching the Sabres. I've said this earlier in the week. The football game better be good when the hockey game ends. Because if it's not, if I turn it on, it's 9-6 or something. I'm like, okay, it's close, but it's not going to hold my attention. I'm sooner to go look for baseball. Yeah, right.
Right. Yankees and Guardians starting soon here in Cleveland, and Dodgers and Mets tonight. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Amari Cooper. So what is he worth to the Bills as we take a look at the season going forward? We'll talk about that and more a lot next hour. Pregame at 6 for Sabres Blue Jackets. This is WGR.